Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a Meryl tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Hey, Sid, you remember how you had to move one of your weeks of hospital service because I was filming my TV show?
Yeah.
Well, I remember how that meant that you had to have two back-to-back hospital service weeks.
Yeah, I remember that well. In fact, I am currently in the midst of the second week, so not only do I remember it, I'm living it.
Well,
and it is exhausting.
Well, I have good news. Because of that, I have done you a beautiful gift, and I have prepared Sawbones this week.
So, wait, by gift, you mean you've done for me what I've been doing for you for how many episodes?
Yeah. Roughly 154 or something.
Sure.
Something like that. But this is a special...
I appreciate it. Thank you, honey.
Yeah, no problem.
Very sweet of you.
It's all going to be all medical.
I know research is not necessarily your forte.
Nor is medicine, but I have...
Definitely not medicine. I mean, super not medicine. Like, so not medicine,
yeah.
It can be seen from space.
We got it.
How
no,
not medicine.
No. We got it.
Is your forte.
We got it. Okay, good. Yeah, I gotcha. Okay,
did I make perfect. That clear?
Yeah, but the good news is I'm striking a perfect balance.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here to talk about... medical video games.
I didn't know there was such a thing as medical video games.
Well, that's not true. You've played.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough.
And we will get to those. But I thought that, you know, this is one area where our interests sort of align. And I thought that it would be worth talking about some of the medical themed video games that have come out, because I think we've done medical themed TV shows and those are great and all pretty much wildly inaccurate in a fun way.
Yes.
But I wanted to run by you some medical video games, and I was hoping for some of them you could just kind of give me a read on, not all of them, but like if they sound like, there's some things I'm suspicious of as to whether they're part of medical care, regular medical care.
And I can tell you the medical parts that are wrong, and you can tell me the parts that aren't really video games.
They're all video games. They're all video games.
So it's not one of those like two truths and a lie.
No, that would be good though. the first, and this is actually kind of a stretch, but the first comes to us from, and these are all going to be fairly brief because we have more than I would have guessed to get through. And this is not going to be completely comprehensive, but it's pretty darn close. There's probably a couple that I've
Your
missed.
Research, the times you've done research, I will say, is very exhaustive.
Yes, very You're, exhaustive.
Yes,
I feel
do.
Like there's going to be one statement, there's going to be one podcast ever about medical video games, and I want it to be like a good reference material. So the first one I want to talk about, 1983, way back, way, way back.
The year that brought you me.
The year that brought you Sydney
McElroy. The year
McElroy.
That brought us Sydney McElroy. So the best year, basically the best
the
year.
The Smurls might have killed a little time waiting for Sid by playing Plaque Attack. This is a Atari game made by Activision where mm-hmm. you played as a toothpaste tube. Now, this is a bit of a stretch. I know this isn't technically medicine. This is dental medicine. But you played as a toothpaste tube.
You play as the tube of toothpaste, not the brush.
No. You're a tube of toothpaste uh-huh. shooting toothpaste at hamburgers and more junk food. Here's the best part of this game. If you're trying to defend teeth. They're like actual teeth you're defending.
Uh-huh.
If you score over 35,000 points, Activision would send you a patch identifying you as part of the No Plaque Pack. to commemorate your achievement if you send them like a photo of your score.
Right. And then you could wear that to school and definitely not get bullied.
Definitely get kicked in the butt several times by everybody.
I have a problem with the idea that hamburgers are the junk food they thought were bad for your teeth.
It's not. Listen, graphics weren't great by then. You have to be careful about what food you represent. Like, what does foie gras look like? I mean, it's going to be hard.
You think that's the bad food for your teeth?
No, I know, like, sugar and stuff. I guess the candy is not that hard.
Yeah, why didn't they just have little pieces of candy?
They might have had pieces of candy. 1988, sorry, Life and Death on the PC. Mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting because it is actually, you could make an argument looking at all the medical games that have come out. This actually seems like it's the one that seems the closest to reality, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. The first thing you say is you play as abdominal surgeon, so.
And that's just my bad grammar, Sydney. Sheesh.
No, I mean, like an abdominal surgeon.
Yeah, that only does abdomens.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's not a thing. Okay, no. I could have guessed.
I think a general surgeon usually covers the abdomen.
Well, you have to, like, there's, it's a surgical game, but, like, you have to visit the patient, you have to, like, poke and prod them to figure out what the diagnosis is, and then you actually have to go in with tools and, like, you scrub in, you have to anesthetize, you have to put antiseptic on the actual area, you have to cut through different layers. Wow. And tie off blood vessels and stuff. And this is an extremely hard game. There are also like lectures that you sit through and you just read lectures.
Was there any history on this game? Was it maybe supposed to be some sort of like, you know, we have this technology, now we have like PC games and maybe we could use them for... I mean, the idea of like using a game for educational purposes is not unique. We use it to teach kids like letters and numbers. So do you think somebody was like, well, I'll use it to teach doctors how to doctor?
No.
Because that sounds like a boring video game. I have sat through medical school lectures. Some of them are, I don't know, I find them exciting sometimes.
This is a
if that's not your thing, I have trouble seeing how that's a game.
This is still a very well-regarded title because it was in its time it struggled because it was not very fun, but critics continue to
laud
the fact that it was so realistic. In 1990, there was a sequel called Life and Death 2, The Brain, and that one you're a brain surgeon, which I know is real, so don't tell me that's not real.
No, that is a real thing.
Perfect.
I actually would kind of like to play that, except I already lived through medical school. I don't know that I want to redo it.
Brush up on your abdomens because it's time to step into those shoes. I want to step out of chronology because the next few are after this one are kind of in a clump. But so we'll skip ahead a little bit to 1994 with the release of Sim Health. It's a simulation of the U.S. healthcare system created by Maxis. Of Sim City fame. And this was right around the time when the Clinton health plan was starting to be a really hot national topic. And the people of Maxis decided to create a game to represent the American healthcare system. The quote from Entertainment Weekly, which gave the game a C-, said, for a vivid demonstration of just how complex and boring the healthcare crisis is, try spending a few hours with Sim Health. It was not a well-regarded title, but...
I can imagine, but that actually sounds like a really important game.
Yeah, I mean, it's very important, but the... Like, to look at this game in action... is absolutely dizzying. You would be shocked at how many of the images of this game are literally just you, the player, looking at a stack of different books. Here, I'm showing you, Sydney, one screenshot where it's just like 20 different books about insurance funding and cost control and benefits for you to reference.
For someone to understand all of that, that is, you know, within this game, for someone to understand all of that well enough to have been proposing a whole new healthcare plan back in 94, or perhaps currently, they must be a an incredibly intelligent person is all I could say.
Yeah.
Incredibly intelligent and capable is all I could say.
That's all you need to
say. I would actually really enjoy this game, I think.
Yeah, I think you probably would.
I think it would do everyone.
It's a game for nerdlingers.
Huh?
Except it's a game for nerdlingers.
I think everybody would really benefit from playing this game if you like to gamify things. This is one of the most important things you could learn is how the U.S. healthcare system works. And then you could figure out what you think the problems are and what you think we could do better and then vote for those things. That's what I think.
We have now...
I approve.
Okay. We have now made our way to my favorite chunk of the medical video games, and it is the Raya Educational Series. There were four games in the Raya Educational Series. They are all amazing. But we're just going to go chronologically. The first one is... don't read ahead. Look at me. Read ahead. Captain Novalin features an eponymous, there's the word, hero who has type 1 diabetes. It was sponsored by Novo Nordisk, which makes Novalin.
The insulin. Right.
I played this. It is a 2D side-scroller where Captain Novalin has to fight aliens and rescue the mayor of Pineville, who is also diabetic. Kind of like, I guess he's only called in on diabetic cases. he has to avoid aliens that look like junk food. But then he finds healthy foods to keep his blood sugar in line. And if it gets too out of whack, he dies.
What? He dies?
He dies. That's what happens to him. I mean, you have three lives, but still.
How old is this character?
He's an adult man.
Okay.
He's an adult man, male superhero.
Well, he has type 1 diabetes, so I didn't know if it was like an inspirational game for kids. Because type 1 diabetes is typically, not always, but typically diagnosed in childhood, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he's just been living with it, and he's been doing a great job, and he did such a great job, they made him Captain Novalin. And he literally, this is amazing, actually, he literally has to check his blood sugar at the beginning of each stage and then give himself a shot of insulin. Like you literally with the control pad have to check your reading against the container and then give yourself an appropriate amount of insulin. Kids could actually ask their doctor for you can customize it to the amount of insulin that you actually take.
I think this is a really cool idea.
It's a very cool idea. It's baffling that it is an actual game because out of context, it is, a wild experience.
I think that's
video game. This is what I can't emphasize enough. The junk food is very hard to avoid. And they're just like, you need peanut butter and toast and cereal in this level. And there's just like toast on the ground. And Captain Novalin's like, oh, perfect. This is good.
Well, I have a little bit of a problem with a kid playing a game. Especially if the kid also has type 1 diabetes and then the character dies periodically. That's a little harsh.
Yeah, that's a little much. Huh?
But let me say that with type 1 diabetes, and especially if it's diagnosed very young, getting a child to start to kind of take ownership over that so that eventually they will be the one, because, you know, initially parents are the ones managing blood sugar. Getting children to take ownership of that as they get older so that they learn how to manage their own disease, it can be very difficult. And something like this that would not only encourage a kid, but reward them for understanding and managing their own diabetes, I think that's cool.
I approve. The follow-up to Captain Novalin was Rex Ronan, experimental surgeon.
This sounds less educational.
This is awesome. It's about a guy named Jake Westboro who has a job with the Blackburn Tobacco Company. He's been smoking since he was 15, and because of that, Jake is dying. His only hope is Rex Ronan, a surgeon that shrinks himself down to near microscopic size to travel inside Jake's body and remove the tar, nicotine, precancer cells, and other health hazards that are preventing Jake from getting better. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why isn't he going to get better? Well, there are also micro robots in Jake's body that he is that was sent to kill him by the tobacco company. And they want to kill him because they think that if Jake gets better, he will tell the world how dangerous smoking is. Now, I know this begs the question. If he died, that would probably send a fairly powerful message about the dangers of smoking, too. But no, Jake's going to blow the lid off of this whole dangers of smoking thing.
Is he the only one who knows?
He's the only one who knows.
How is the only one who knows?
I don't. It is baffling. This is 1994, okay? We knew smoking was bad.
Yeah, everyone was very aware. Well, and it sounds like either they were trying to make an educational game, so they said, well, he'll go in and zap, like you said, like precancerous cells and nicotine and all that stuff. And then they said, and also, there'll be microbots.
Well, they send him. They're not going to attack him. Like, Tar isn't going to attack him. You got to have an antagonist who's trying to
kill
Rex.
Why can't Tar attack you?
Why would Tar attack you?
Because it's bad. It's bad. A video game. Video games. Make the Tar evil. Why can't the Tar be evil?
I mean, that would be. Maybe you should design the video game.
If the junk food can attack you in the plaque game and in the diabetes game, why can't Tar attack you?
The war for your lungs is not over because in 1995 we met Bronchiosaurus. So here's the plot of this game, because they just keep getting more and more buck wild as the Raya educational series continues to go off the rails. Uh-huh. Meteors strike a dinosaur town, and they raise so much dust that all the dinosaurs got asthma. This is not, I'm not making this up. Asthma.
That's not how asthma works, but keep going.
They build a machine to try to get rid of all the dust, but then it was destroyed by a bad guy. So now Bronchi and his fellow dinosaur Trachy are collecting pieces of a machine that will clear away the air. But they're vulnerable to shortness of breath from tar, cigarette smoke, furry animals, etc. And Bronchi frequently has to manage his asthma, similar to Captain Novel.
That's a really scary
pit stops.
That's a really scary message, though, because what it sounds like is if you go in a dusty enough room, you're going to develop lung problems.
That's how it works.
No, you don't get asthma from being in a dusty room.
Listen, they made video games. They weren't doctors, okay?
They didn't ask any.
Next up, Packy and Marlin. This was designed for kids with juvenile diabetes, but accent on the juvenile. I know type 1 diabetes is also juvenile diabetes.
Yes, yes.
This is for kids. Packy and Marlin are at a summer camp. This is, you could tell, you could feel Raya starting to give up. They're at a summer camp where rats have stolen all the food and medical supplies.
What kind of summer camp are they? What is this? What is
this?
Well,
they're the kind of summer camp where two diabetic elephants are the only ones that can stop the rats that stole all the food and medical supplies, all while, you guessed it, managing their diabetes.
What? Okay, why are they elephants? I thought elephants were scared of mice.
They're scared of mice. They're more scared of diabetes, so they have to get their food and medical supplies back.
Why can't the kids get them back from the rats? Why did they have to call in elephants?
I'm pretty sure it's like an anthropomorphic thing, Sid. I don't think there's both elephants and kids at this wild summer camp.
Oh. So there are a bunch of elephants, kids?
They're juvenile elephants with diabetes at summer camp where rats stole all the food.
And two of them? Or are they two, like, other elephants from outside that
come in? No, Packy and Marlin are, like, the only... You know what? I'm moving on. 1997.
I still need to know more about this summer camp. Is this a post-apocalyptic summer camp? Like, what is going on?
I'll show you some videos afterwards.
Is this a summer camp from the Hunger Games? Why are there rats everywhere stealing food?
Packy and Marlin was 1995. 1997 brings us Theme Hospital. Now, this is actually one of the better regarded. There aren't a lot of well-regarded games, but...
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, I know. Theme Hospital was made by Bullfrog. It was originally conceived by Peter Molyneux, who has been involved with, like, Fable. And you remember Black and White? Remember we played Black and White where you're a god and you had the... Yes. That's Peter Molyneux.
Okay.
But he didn't actually develop Theme Hospital. Theme Hospital was published by Electronic Arts in 97, and you would design and operate a privately owned hospital and you're trying to cure patients. Now, I know what you're wondering. Why is it called Theme Hospital? Well, it's because it was a sequel to the game Theme Park. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they knew. I guess that's probably one way of demonstrating that it's a sequel to Theme Park, but it is, they just called it Theme Hospital, which doesn't make any sense. It's a very it's an odd game, but it's one that actually came to the PC and PlayStation a little bit later, but it's a very silly game. Like the sense of humor is one of the things that people remember about it a lot, which makes sense. I think if you're making a medical game, you don't want it to get too bogged down. There's a lot of pop
culture. You don't want the main character to die if they don't do well.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like pop culture references. There's references to Red Dwarf and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and stuff like that. So classic nerd references from the 90s.
That sounds kind of neat. I don't know that like being the business manager of a hospital sounds fun to me.
Well,
but I'm a doctor, so of course it doesn't.
Luckily for you, there was Life Signs in 2005. Life Signs Surgical Unit, which was the localized version of a Japanese game called Resident Dr. Tendo 2, The Scales of Life. The first Resident Dr. Tendo was never released here in America. Okay. It's a surgery game on the DS. The interesting thing about it, and really the only reason this is notable, it was just as focused on the relationships between the doctors as the other ones, as surgery, sorry. But the interesting thing about this is that there's an 8-year gap. Theme Hospital comes out in 97. It's 8 years before there's another medically themed game. And what you see is the advent of the DS and the Wii, which all of a sudden makes medical games, specifically games that feature surgery, make a lot more sense.
Because of the stylus.
Yeah. So this becomes the new era of medical games. They make a big comeback.
That makes sense to me that if you were going to focus on one area of medicine that would make a good game, it would probably be surgery because there is a hands-on component to it. So. Yep. Well, Justin, I want to hear more.
You're slow on the ups. This is a hard gig, isn't it? Getting us into the billing department. You got to be ready for it.
Well, all I have to do is say, Justin, tell me what comes next in the evolution of medical video games.
I usually make them sound more natural. I just read ahead and make it sound more natural. Okay, let's go to the billing department.
Let's go.
You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are. But you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine and my Figs. But also, I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary. But if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
All right, Justin, so what came next in the, I'm assuming, more surgery games?
More surgery games. That is the name of the biz, and we have arrived now in 2005 with the most prolific and celebrated medical franchise in history, I would say. I think it's fair. It's, you know, that's not a hugely impressive achievement, but...
I'll take your word for it. I certainly don't have any opinion to the contrary.
Well, you'll have an opinion on this one because it's Trauma Center.
I've played this one.
You have played this one. The first one of these was Under the Knife, and it went so well that they started pounding them out every year. Now, the things you have to know about Trauma Center, and Sid will back me up on this, I think. First off, it's a highly stylized take on surgery. There's a lot of generic sort of like antibiotic gel and make you better cream.
Yes. And there's also a lot of, I think, the same thing you find in a lot of medical TV shows. There's a lot of drama around everything.
Oh, yeah. It's all very dramatic.
Yes. A lot of backstory about the relationships between various people and like other personal drama that's going on, as well as, like intense music, kind of the thing you see like in a medical. I know I never understood why that's part of a medical TV show, but it's part of this too.
There was one where somebody had a bomb inside them and you had to defuse them,
which is exactly a plot from Grey's Anatomy as well.
Yeah, who was there first? I it's hard for me to say, but I think the biggest creative license is that you had something called the Healing Touch, which with the Wii Pointer or the DS stylus, you would draw a star on the screen and it would like make the patient much better.
Yeah. You could do that and like raise their vital signs, because there was like this generic like vital signs thing, mm-hmm. which just went down when you weren't doing very well.
You're doing
like
worse.
All vital signs are just down.
Yeah, they're just worse.
they're all just going down.
They're just bad.
And then you could make them go up with, I think there was like a syringe of liquid.
Just better.
And you just shoot the better liquid in them and it makes better. Everything, all the vitals go up.
But these,
like they do.
These are so popular that Atlas started pushing them out annually. You had Under the Knife, Second Opinion, New Blood, Under the Knife 2, and lastly, Trauma Team. Now, those are all surgery games. Not huge differences, I would say. Maybe some new tools here and there, and I think the visuals got a little bit better. But the biggest change, I think, was the last one in this series, 2010, Trauma Team. And I don't know if you remember this one, Sid, but in addition to surgery, it had some other specialties in there. They had first responders, they had orthopedics, they had endoscopy, and then they had diagnosis and forensics. Now, the diagnosis and forensics was great because it was basically like a house.
It was a house-like character.
Yeah.
And you just diagnose weird ailments.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was great. And there was a, that I'm assuming was inspired by the popularity of House at the time, mm-hmm. Because that was... Because
I think the character was like a surly... Wasn't he kind of a grumpy surly?
He was like... You know what it was? He was like almost like a Sherlock... More of a, like a prodigy, kind of like super genius, if memory...
I thought he was a little testy, too.
He was a little testy, yeah.
I think he was a little testy.
There were a couple of other specialties in there that I wanted to just run past you to see if, like, this is how it works in the medical field. Orthopedics.
That's a specialty.
Yeah, okay.
is that the question? Because, yes, there are orthopedic surgeons.
It had it featured a laser to carve artificial bone fragments. Is that real?
No, I mean, I have cut through bone in an operating room before, and I used a saw.
Okay.
We have, like, electric saws, and then we have, like, this thin wire that is strung between two handles, and you kind of, like, loop it under the bone and then pull back and forth, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
And it's got teeth on it.
This was like that, but it was, like, it was a laser, no, like, and you use it to kill stigma and burn off polyps. You ever burn off polyps with lasers?
No, I mean, polyps are removed, like they're cut out, but they're...
Also, players switch off with each completed step in the operation if a mistake is made. So if you make a mistake in co-op mode with Doctor, do you switch
and just let the other person drive? My turn. That's how it works.
That's how it works? Okay. Yeah. In endoscopy, there was a spray that uncovered camouflage ulcers. Do you have that?
No. I don't even know how to parse that. No, you just look. Like, endoscopy is like when we take a camera and look. Mm-hmm. What would they be camouflaged by?
Now, when you use an endoscopy thing, do you have to be really careful about bumping into the walls of the patient's internal organs so they don't die?
I mean, you don't want to push it through the wall of their internal organs.
But it's not like a...
It's going to touch things. It's going to touch things.
So sadly,
that's fine. Just don't push it through the wall and you're cool.
Sadly, there have been no more trauma team games since, or trauma center games, I guess you could call them, since 2010. The series has been... I'm ready for another one, though. I think we're
I would play that game. I enjoyed those games.
Stuff like that. VR. Oh, yes, please. 2007.
That might be too real for some people.
Yeah. VR might get in there too deep.
Not me, but, you know.
Hospital Tycoon. You managed a hospital, not like Theme Hospital. Mm-hmm. The player needed to manage the staff. You ensure patients are cared for. They have the correct treatment facilities. There's new equipment that you buy. This game was critically panned pretty badly, and it was notable mainly because the company that released it, Codemasters, acknowledged that there was a lot of glitches and bugs in it, and then they acknowledged that they would not be fixing them because it wasn't popular enough.
I have a problem with the title of this.
Okay.
Hospital Tycoon.
Yes.
If you are going into the healthcare field, I mean, in any branch, healthcare management included, because you want to be a hospital tycoon...
Well,
I find that personally offensive.
I know what you're saying, but tycoon is like a subgenre of games. Like,
right? No, I understand because there's like one for like amusement parks, right?
Well, they're actually literally called Railroad Tycoon and stuff like that. Like there's all kinds of tycoon.
I know, but I don't find it. I find that like, can we leave healthcare out of the tycoon business, please? Could you be a tycoon at something else and then be a helper at medicine?
So you want the game to be called Hospital Helper?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I don't make the titles. I'm just saying I'm offended by Hospital Tycoon.
2009 was perhaps the weirdest one of these games. It was Grey's Anatomy. Came out on Wii and PC.
As in the TV show?
Yes, this is based on the TV show. It's baffling. Like, maybe even weirder than the Raya educational series. You make story decisions in the game. Like, Derek wants to just be alone, but you want him to come over and hang out with you. So you have to make a story decision whether or not you're going to, like, flirt or whether or not you're going to give him the cold shoulder. But to do this, to make these decisions, you have to play a mini game where you put together a 3-piece puzzle. That is the picture of Meredith doing the thing that it, like, being flirtatious or giving him the cold shoulder. It's literally a 3-piece puzzle that you assemble to make this choice.
Right. This sounds as convoluted as the storyline of Grey's Anatomy was at times. So.
There is also surgery in the game as well, but it is nowhere near as robust as some of the others.
Well, that's the important thing to know about the life as a doctor is that, I mean, every once in a while we're healing patients, but most of the time we're really just obsessing about our own inner turmoil and looking really great in scrubs and also making out in broom closets. And also having, like, parties where you dance and drink bottles of wine in your beautiful homes that you afford on your medical resident salaries. That's medicine.
This is an all-original plot in this game. It's not based on any of the episodes. It's based on an outbreak of diphtheria in the hospital. And there were are subplot lines, like Christina seeking a fellowship despite Derek's bad review and then catching diphtheria. It's literally what the Wikipedia page says.
Why did she catch diphtheria? Was she not vaccinated?
I mean, I don't know, Sydney. I'm not a writer on the Grey's Anatomy game.
But that is a haunting tale that we should remember. We won't catch diphtheria and prevent us from our surgical fellowship if we get vaccinated against diphtheria.
Real quick, last one I want to touch on is 2013. Surgeon Simulator 2013. This was great. It's a parody of games like Farming Simulator is what the title is referring to, or Baseball Simulator, whatever. I think there's even a Cricket Management Simulator game. Mm-hmm. But it was created during a 48-hour game jam, but then the developer, Boston Studios, spent an additional 48 days turning it into a retail product. You played this one a little bit. It is intentionally really difficult to control.
Yes.
Each of the buttons on the controller are on the keyboard mapped to a different digit. So each digit of the left hand has its own button that you have to use to grip tools and stuff.
Yes, that was very difficult.
It's actually a meta gag based on a game called Jurassic Park Trespasser, which was notoriously difficult to control because it gave you control over the arms, but it didn't do it especially well. But Surgeon Simulator is really funny. If you haven't checked out, it's one of the ones that's worthwhile. Lastly, Big Pharma 2015 is a game where you manage a pharmaceutical company. It's a simulator where you manage.
Did they know when they named it that that's kind of like a negative?
I think,
like,
yeah.
When you
yeah.
say Big Pharma, that's it like seems, a negative
it's connotation. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, it seemed like to me. But okay. Anyway, those are all the medical games that I found. I mean, most of them. There's a couple I skipped just because they seem very boring. There's a lot of these that are made, like, educationally, like, that were never really widely commercially released, but I feel like I've covered most of those. That's gonna do it for us, Sid.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it. Do you want to do the stuff that I normally do? Can you say, like, thanks to taxpayers for letting us use your song medicines as the intro and outro?
Or can I thank you first?
Yeah, thank you
for leading me through all these medical video games.
Which one of those? Which one would you most want to play? And which one do you most want to see YouTube video of after we're done?
I want to play the one about my girl Hillary's healthcare system in 1994.
Okay, perfect. The one that looks incredibly boring.
Can I just say that there should be a game about family medicine? Where's my family medicine game? There needs to be, like, we see patients and you spend a lot of time talking and understanding them as individuals, and then you make sure that they've gotten all of their appropriate vaccinations and their colonoscopies and their mammograms and their pap smears and their appropriate laboratory testing, and you counsel them on diet and exercise and wearing their seatbelt and safe sex.
It sounds like Second Life to me, but we'll give it a whirl.
No, that's my job. No, this is my first life. This is my real life that I just described. Thanks. Doesn't that sound fun?
We're kind of in alpha stage on Family Medicine Simulator 2016, so mm-hmm. we're going to keep working out some of the bugs, and we'll see if we can't get it through playtesting just to get some of the rough edges off.
I want a real life test it out. When you can't come to work with me, never mind. That's a HIPAA violation.
Thank you to the MaximumFun.org. Is the website for a podcast network called Maximum Fun. The .org is not in their title. I tend to forget that from time to time.
But if you go to MaximumFun.org, you can check out all of the other cool podcasts.
Yes. There's a ton of great shows there. Check out Minority Corner if you need a new one to listen to. We had an ad for them, I believe, in last week's episode. But if that wasn't enough to persuade you, go give that a whirl. There's a ton of great shows. There's a ton of fun. And activities for kids. That one's not true, but there are good podcasts. And I believe that is going to do it for us, folks. So until...
Thank you to the taxpayers for our theme song, Medicines.
Good. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, you didn't say it.
Okay.
You said add it. Thanks. I fixed it for you.
Thanks, y'all.
You're welcome.
Until next week, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always...
Don't drill a hole... in your head.
See, it's harder than it looks, huh? I have a hard gig.
All right. Yeah. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Ty is a pedantic person. I think when he pronounces these words, it's in a very show-off-y way. Gyro.
Gyro.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Ayers Rock.
Uluru.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with real cases. They call in via Skype to Judge John Hodgman's court, the real people's court. Now I call you to judge John Hodgman's internet court. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.